You are listening to the Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. I'm Katie Wyatt, here as I am every Friday morning with my co-host, Father Adam. Good morning, Father Adam.
Good morning, everyone.
How are you?
Wonderful.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving or Black Friday.
Or Black Friday.
Yeah.
Have you been up, out, shopping?
Well, I was out to the gym, but not shopping.
There weren't very many people out this morning. I was surprised.
No, it's hardly anyone.
But I wasn't near big shopping areas anyway, so maybe I just missed them.
Yeah.
Well, let's pray, and then we have much catching up to do.
Sounds great. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for all of your blessings. We give you thanks for this holiday time together and for the gift of family. We ask, O Lord, that you bless our time together, bless our travels. We ask that you continue to draw us ever closer to you. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Were you with family yesterday?
I was, yeah. We're down at my sister's place in Jackson. So,
do you eat turkey or venison?
We had turkey, yeah.
No venison?
No venison, no.
We didn't have turkey. We had roast beef.
Whoa.
Yeah,
whoa.
We're rebels.
Yeah, well.
I don't know. I always think turkey is so overrated.
You know, I love a good roasted turkey, so.
Really?
Yeah, I really do. Mm. I really do. My favorite is the drumsticks. Too, so.
Yeah, but that's everybody's favorite, right?
Yeah, well, I get them because I'm the baby.
Oh,
so,
my gosh.
They save the drumsticks for me.
Do they really?
Well, I don't think anyone in the family. I mean, I was in line and there were two drumsticks there. And so I got one, you know, to eat. And then when we were packing up the leftovers, there was an extra drumstick. There was another drumstick. So I was like, no one else eats the drumsticks but
me. Yeah, because here's the behind-the-scenes conversation.
Yeah.
Make sure Father Adam gets the drumstick. Otherwise, he'll throw a fit like he did everything.
They don't call me Father Adam.
No, I know. I know, but for the sake of my illustration, I thought
usually
it was disrespectful.
Usually it's brat or something like that.
So what do they call you? What do your sisters call you?
They call me Adam.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have had various different nicknames throughout my life, though. So sometimes Adam Bomb. That was at one point in my life, my Adam Bomb. One time Adam Ant. I think that was in the early 80s.
See, you're giving me ideas that I'm not going to be able to follow up on, so I need you to just stop. It's too tempting, because now I just want to call you Adam Bomb. We were at my brother's yesterday, and I promised my nephews, Dominic and Antonio, that I would say hello to them on the radio this morning. So, good morning, little guys. Dominic made a, I don't know what it's called, but something to do with Fortnite. One of the characters, he put my head on a Fortnite character's body in a pic collage app, and I felt pretty, well, relevant, really.
Yeah.
Okay, so Thanksgiving. In other news, new vocations director.
Yes, yeah, Father Bill Hahn has been named the new vocation director, although I think he's part-time. Father Noble is still in the position until July. I think July is when it officially
So they're
kicks
kind
in.
Of transitioning a
exactly,
little bit.
Exactly, yeah. Because, you know, I think people maybe don't realize this, but, you know, so the vocation director recruits vocations, you know, he helps men discern the priesthood.
Wait, so he actively like goes out to young men and says, "Hey, have you?"
Like
I didn't know that.
So,
okay.
Like, if a young man or even an old man, I guess, is discerning
what
the priesthood,
what would you consider an old man? Just for,
I don't really want to.
Okay,
answer that question.
That's wise. Okay.
So if a man is discern, you know, is thinking about it, they should, you know, talk to their pastor. Or a priest that they trust, you know, but then also contact the vocations office and the vocations director. So the vocations director will give them, you know, advice, kind of perhaps set them up with opportunities to kind of see the seminary and things like that. But people I don't maybe realize is that most of the vocation director's work is guiding people through the process of application. So you've got to apply to be accepted by the diocese. And then also you then have to apply to the seminary and get accepted through that.
Right.
So there's paperwork, there's interviews, there's psychological testing, there's all these different things that you have to go through. So the vocation director kind of brings you through that, And that's a lot of work. And so I think the reason why the bishop decided to announce it now was so that Father Kahan can help Father Noble in this process of bringing these guys through through the process.
So Father Hahn will not be at a parish anymore.
After July.
Yeah. Okay, they're going to miss him in Chillicothe.
Yeah, and Waverly and Washington Courthouse.
Oh,
and,
gosh.
Yeah, he had, at one point he had four counties. So
what?
Yeah, he was the pastor of four counties.
What are you complaining about?
I'm not complaining about anything.
I just want to make sure. Hey, speaking of vocation.
I just have four blocks that I'm responsible for.
I know, you can walk everywhere you need to be, pretty much. Okay, speaking of vocations, have you ever been in the National Catholic Youth Conference?
No.
Oh,
I have never been
there. My gosh. I've been seven times.
Wow.
I did not get to go this year, but I was following it. It is so amazing.
Is it in Indianapolis
every year?
It's
always in Indianapolis. Yeah, they used to move it around, but Indianapolis seems to work, be sort of centrally located, big enough facilities. So, but I was following the, you know, the tweets and the news reports and that, because it's just so it's 20,000 people, mostly high school students. These students who like go through the day just trying to be solid in their Catholic faith and try not to feel like a freak that they're practicing Catholicism and trying, you know, defending their faith all the time, especially if they don't go to a Catholic school, and sometimes even if they do go to a Catholic school. And then they get to NCYC and it's like an explosion of faithful Catholicism, and they suddenly feel so excited and so normal and so uplifted. And when we, you know, we hear so much about the statistics about kids not being faith-filled, like the church falling into disrepair and people leaving in droves, and then you go to NCYC and it's like, this is amazing. This is hopeful. Yeah.
Do they have speakers at it?
They have speakers. So they have keynote speakers every morning and every night, and then in between workshops. And one of the big, well, it was Christ the King weekend, so focusing on the kingship of Christ and challenging the kids to be in the Word every day, which, thanks be to God, that's what's going to make the difference in our church. But I was reading, so at the opening session, you know, they're rowdy and they're riled up and there's music and there's energy and there's speakers, and then a video comes on and it is Pope Francis delivering a video message to the youth of America, and you could hear a pin drop. According to news reports, you could hear a pin drop in the stadium, and the kids were so attentive. And after the message, they just erupted. You know, we hear also that youth don't have any respect for authority, but anytime a bishop is on the stage, of course, the Pope, they are so attentive and respectful. And but just one more thing I wanted to share about it. So at the closing mass, Archbishop Charles Thompson of Indianapolis was talking about St. Jose Luis in the Vivo Cristo Rey moment.
Uh-huh.
And he reminded those kids that St. Jose Luis was 14 years old, you know, their age, and just talking about putting Christ at the center of lives, out of our lives, and remembering Christ as King of the universe. And at the end, I love this, at the end, he shouted, "Viva Cristo Rey!" And 20,000 youth shouted back, "Viva!" And then he said, here was his closing statement, "Dear young people, brothers and sisters in Christ, your witness of being blessed, broken, and given is essential to the church, the mission of the Lord." He said, "Now you can applaud yourselves." And the shouting that ensued lasted several minutes. Archbishop Thompson slowly turned his head, taking in the mass of young people cheering and clapping in the stadium. A joyful grin spread across his face and shined through his eyes. The grin turned into a laugh, making the 20,000 youth cheer louder. It is electric. It's so exciting. But then he said, "You've been great, but it's past my bedtime." He dismissed him and sent him back out in the world. So it's, if you ever have a chance to go to the National Catholic Youth Conference, it will make you so happy and so full of hope and joy. Okay, anyway, what are we doing this morning, Father Adam?
Well, it looks like we have Father Tom Gardner with us this morning.
Priest of the Week, Father Tom Gardner. Should we get him on and see what he's up to?
Well, let's do traffic and weather first.
Oh, yeah, that's very important.
Don't forget.
Okay.
Our traffic and weather this week is brought to you by the 14 Holy Helpers, especially St. Barbara today, whose feast is December 4th. St. Barbara is the patron against fever and sudden death, against lightning and fire, that's why we have her for weather, and against sudden and violent death at work. She's the patroness of builders, artillerymen, and miners.
So this must be a very exciting day for you that St. Barbara is the sponsor
December 4th,
for...
Yeah, so we will not have any lightning, I think, today. So currently it is 35
so
degrees.
Helpful.
And a high of 40 today. It'll be cloudy throughout most of the day. Everything is clear except there is an accident at 70 West at the 71 North exit. So
how could that be? There's not even any traffic out there.
Well, something happened.
All right.
Remember to drive safely, and if you have a St. Gabriel magnet on your car, represent us well.
Before we get to Father Gardner, let's talk about this day in Catholic history. Today is November 29th.
Yes, there's some important births and deaths today.
Okay.
So in 1898, C.S. Lewis was born today.
No!
Now, of course, he's not Catholic, but... his writings are very much influenced by the Catholic Church. So, of course, the Screwtape Letters, Chronicles of Narnia, Mere Christianity. In 1905, Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre was born this day.
You did a good job pronouncing that.
Yeah, well, I did take French in high school.
Did
so,
you?
Yeah.
Lefebvre.
Yeah. So, of course, he was excommunicated for ordaining some bishops without the papal approval.
Why did he do that?
In order, he thought, to preserve the Latin Mass, the Mass pre-Vatican II. So, and then in 1530 this day, Thomas Cardinal Wolsey died. He may be famous or may be known for... being the predecessor of St. Thomas More as Chancellor of England. Of course, if you've watched that great movie about Thomas More, A Man for All Seasons, he's in that. At least the character is in that movie. So
I'll never be able to hear the word Chancellor without thinking of Star Wars.
Well,
I feel bad because it sort of undermines some very important people in history, but. Anyway, that's a side note. All right, let's see what Father Tom Gardner is up to. Father Gardner, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Happy Black Friday, day after Thanksgiving.
Hello.
I hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving yesterday.
Thank you. I noticed you didn't come in the studio this morning. Is that because you're out shopping?
No, that's because I wanted at least the possibility of doing this interview in my PJs. I am not currently in my pajamas, but I wanted at least the option of doing that.
Oh,
you know?
My gosh.
But I am sitting in a very comfy recliner at my parents' house on this Black Friday.
With your doggy?
Yes, with my parochial pooch, Benny.
Benny, that's right. Named after
yep.
St. Benedict.
It's something much more secular, but still awesome. I named him after the character of Benny from The Sandlot.
Oh.
Yes. Okay, well, we want to talk to you about what you're doing, who you are, and all that sort of thing. But first, we
Absolutely.
Always like to play a game with our Priest of the Week. Are you
up
for that?
Here we go.
It's just true or false.
Okay, all right.
Okay, and you have 50% chance of getting the answer right.
Sure, exactly.
Right.
I like my odds.
Okay, good. So, in honor of St. Barbara, the first question, lightning never strikes in the same place twice, true or false?
I would say true on that one.
No, that's false. But it's okay.
Okay,
keep going. If you cry in space, the tears just stick to your face, true or false?
True.
That is true. If you cut an earthworm in half, both halves can regrow their body.
True.
No, that's false. Only one half.
Oh.
We should try an experiment sometime. Anyway.
So, well, see, this is why I didn't become a scientist, but instead a priest.
Exactly. Like, as a priest, you literally never have to cut an earthworm in half.
Exactly. Although I have heard, and this is like the little 10-year-old in me, isn't it if you cut it at the heart, it actually, like, both sides die? I mean, I know that's very sad, but to a 10-year-old, they're like, awesome, kill the worm.
Do you know how much of your minute you are wasting right now?
I'm sorry.
Humans can distinguish between over a trillion different smells.
Whoa. True or false?
True or false.
I'm going to say false because I think our sense smells really bad, isn't it?
No, it's true. It's not as good as a dog's, but the human nose is still pretty incredible. That's a quote.
Okay.
Adults have fewer bones than babies do.
Adults have fewer bones than babies. I'm going to say true on that one because your skull grows together.
Exactly.
Wow.
Brilliant. The earth is mostly water.
True.
That is true. The seven dwarfs worked as lumberjacks.
False. Miners.
We dig. That's right. The favorite food of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is pizza.
True.
I put that in for you because I knew you would get
Cowabunga.
It. Fish. Fish sleep with their eyes open.
Oh, true?
True. They don't have eyelids.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Unless they're doors.
That's been that was a long minute.
I know. I forgot to set the timer. Plus, I really like Father Tom Gardner, so I gave him some extra time. You got 6 points.
Aw, Katie.
I know.
You're too nice.
Well, someday I'm going to need, like, you to absolve me of my sins.
Yeah, she's buttering me up. So we don't get in trouble in the Holy Land. Are you coming on that trip?
I don't know. We'll have to talk about it.
Okay.
Father Gardner, Father Franks, they're going to the Holy Land in October.
Whoa.
So excited.
Right? I say it's the joy bus. Get on that joy
Absolutely.
Bus.
Absolutely. The joy train.
Tell us, where is Tuscarawas County?
It took, I kid you not, I practiced pronouncing the name Tuscarawas before I went, so I could just say it very naturally.
Say it again.
You go, so to get to Tuscarawas County, you go on 70 East for about 45 minutes to an hour, and then you go north on 77 for about a half an hour, and that puts you very close. So it's a little north and east. I call it the northeast corner of the diocese because that's what it is.
What parishes are in Tuscarawas County?
There are several. So there are the three that are in a consortium, which I'm assigned to. So Immaculate Conception, Denison, Sacred Heart, New Philadelphia, and Holy Trinity in Zor. And then there's also St. Joe's in Dover.
Excellent. Now, there's also a high school up there, too, isn't there?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I very much enjoy being a part of things there. I actually teach once a week there right now, the sophomores and juniors, teaching them some religion. But it's a 7-12 school, so Tuscarawas Central Catholic, and then there are also two Catholic elementary schools, which I'll probably talk a little bit about more later, but Immaculate Conception Elementary School, and then TCCES, as they call it, Tuscarawas Central Catholic Elementary School.
Oh, okay, so there's like a merged elementary there then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Yeah. So that one I think merged from St. Joe's Elementary, and I actually don't know what the other one that merged in, but it became TCCES at a certain point.
And are you at the elementary pretty frequently too?
Absolutely. Yeah. So since I live and do a lot of my work in Denison, which is just a little bit south of New Philadelphia. That's kind of how I try to locate it for people. And a lot of people often confuse Denison with like Denison University. The difference is Denison University has one end, whereas the Denison where I live has two, and they're also like an hour and a half apart.
So, yeah. Now, Father,
people have come to Denison looking for Denison University and have been very sad people.
Now, Father, we're approaching quickly the season of Advent. What spiritual practices do you personally do, and what would you encourage our listeners with?
Absolutely. So I really, really love Advent wreaths, and I love doing that at Mass. So that's one of my favorite kind of liturgical things to do to kind of mark the season. But I also really enjoy just the different, like, spiritual reflections that some Catholic authors have released. I forget the exact name of the book, but I just got a book of Advent Reflections by Dr. Edward Sree, who's a great Catholic scholar. I think he's with, like, the Augustine Institute. So I'm looking forward to actually reading that kind of day by day through Advent. But there's also the Best Advent Ever, which is by Matthew Kelly. I'm sure a lot of the listeners here have probably heard of that. But if you hadn't, it's a great program. You just stick your email into Matthew Kelly's website, and every day they'll email you a little reflection and a short video for each day of Advent. And it's a cool thing. So I'm planning on encouraging my parishioners to do that and do it myself as well. So
awesome.
Yeah, there's a lot of great stuff to kind of get you into the groove of Advent. I really love trying to encourage people to get into the seasons kind of that lead up to other seasons as people kind of think of them. People kind of forget Advent because they're like, oh, Christmas is almost here. But I think there's a lot of great stuff to kind of dig into during Advent.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Father. Thanks for joining us.
It's so good to talk to you.
Absolutely.
I'm glad you were able to sit comfortably in your chair while we have this conversation.
I have a feeling he was up pacing.
We will have you on again sometime, and we'll play another rigged game that is designed for you to win.
I look forward to it, although, gosh, please no more science. That's, like, not my specialty,
obviously.
Okay,
all right. Good to know. I'll make a note of it. I'm writing it right now. All right, we are going to take a break. You're listening to the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam, and we will be right back.
I've met so many parents over the years who blame themselves for their children wandering from God. Can I just say this to everybody listening right now? That's ridiculous. Stop that if you're doing it. God is a pretty good parent, and his first two children rejected him. It's called free will. So what do you do about it if your child wanders from God in their adulthood? One, pray and fast. It worked for St. Monica. It said that she gave birth to her son, St. Augustine, a second time, spiritually, through her tears and prayers. Prayer's powerful. Never doubt that. Two, while it's important to challenge them, don't let your relationship become all about that. When you evangelize family members, remember, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Keep loving them. Keep those doors of communication and friendship open. And three, never lose hope. God loves your kid more than you ever could, and he's on your side. And in the end, he won his rebellious children back. That's what Scripture's all about. You can do the same for yours. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com.
I worked in pro baseball for a long time, and we play on Sundays. And it was an easy excuse. I took the easy out and just didn't go to Mass.
When I was in college, I ended up having a lot of questions about my faith, and I ended up leaving the church.
I might have gone to church, you know, at Christmas time, gradually quit going.
Went through a divorce and ended up being a single parent. If I didn't have church or God, I would be back at that lonely stage, that trouble stage. Whenever you get anxious and worry about things, you just know that Jesus has it under control.
Now that I'm back in the Catholic Church, I'm a new person. I love it.
And it's a place where I feel accepted for who I am.
When you come home to the church, you're coming home to a Catholic family where people today just embrace you.
I have a peace when I walk through the doors of the Catholic Church, like that's where I belong.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Welcome back to the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. I'm Katie White, here with Father Adam Streitenberger.
Good morning, everyone.
Share the rest of this hour with you. Another traffic and weather update?
Yes, well, okay. Our traffic and weather today is brought to you by the 14 Holy Helpers. We're going to have a high of 40 today, cloudy most of the day. The chance of rain ends about 10 a.m., so that if we survive till 10, there will be no rain today.
What does that even mean? Do you know something we don't know?
Survive in the sense of no rain.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Calm down.
Okay.
Calm down. Although, you know, as we approach Advent, we should always be ready for the end, you know. So,
hey, listeners, we're just here to help.
Yeah. We're just here. And traffic, you know, it's pretty clear out there. Just a slight little incident at I-70 West at 71. So, remember, if you're driving out there, there are not many driving out there, but if you are driving out there and you have a St. Gabriel magnet on your car, represent us well.
So, Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent.
Yes, yes.
And so on our show today, we wanted to talk about the Incarnation. Our guest that we're going to be talking to later, Friar John Banham, and he's a Franciscan, so yeah. He knows all about the Incarnation. He's yes. an expert. Okay, so we're going to be talking to him. But before we get to that, do you have a catechism minute for
us? Yes, yeah, well... let's look at paragraphs 457 through 460, which deal with the question of why did the Word become flesh? Why did the Word become flesh? Well, there's a couple reasons. One, the Word became flesh for us in order to save us by reconciling us with God. So the Son has become one of us. He has taken on our human nature in order to restore our relationship with the Father. You know, in Adam and Eve, Adam walked with God in the garden. The Incarnation is a means by which human nature is able to walk with God. Number two, the Word became flesh so that we might know God's love. It's an expression that, you know, this infinite love and mercy is now in human terms and in human expressions because God has taken on flesh. Number three, the Word became flesh to be our model of holiness, to teach us how to be human. And then finally, the Word became flesh so that by, as humans, by being and living our humanity, we might also partake in the divine nature.
Can you give us those paragraph numbers again? Because that's just
457 through 460.
Okay, so my challenge for our listeners this week is to get out your catechism, or for the next several weeks, and to reflect on that, because it's good to get an overview from Father Adam here in 1 minute on the Friday morning show, but that's worth deeper reflection.
Well, you know, all of the section, and that section is taken on the mysteries of Christ's life. All of those sections are kind of geared to the different liturgical seasons. So, for instance, I mean, we know that at every Mass, all of Christ's life is present because it is the sacrifice of the cross is present, and that's sort of the summation of everything. So all the mysteries of Christ's life are present at the Mass. So in different seasons, we focus a little more on different mysteries. So in Advent, we focus on those mysteries of Christ's life leading up to the Incarnation and of the Incarnation itself.
Well, we're supposed to focus on that. But
well,
we
do that liturgically.
Liturgically, we definitely do. Yeah. So, okay, who's our saint of the day?
Saint Saturnius. There's no biggies today. So Saint Saturnius was a bishop
no
in Toulouse.
Saint Saturnius.
He was sent to France. And, you know, interesting about Saint Saturnius is the way that he was martyred. So he was tied to a wild bull.
You know, people do that for fun
and
dragged, bars.
And dragged
days.
By it, yeah.
Why? Just because that's how they did it back then?
That's, yeah.
It wasn't like...
Someone had a sick, you know, sick sense of humor that day.
Yes.
Decided to tie him up to a bull.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Gospel of the day. It's a short one today, yes?
Yes. So let's read it.
Okay.
Jesus told his disciples a parable. Consider the fig tree and all the other trees. When their buds burst open, you see for yourselves and know that summer is now near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So, you know, it's interesting, as we come to the end of the liturgical season, and as we begin into Advent, a lot of themes are repeated, and that is preparing for the end time and being, you know, ever alert and watching for the signs. So
Father Adam, that's what I was going to ask you about. A lot of the themes are repeated.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any tips for as we're reading the daily readings and as we're hearing this? Like, we're getting ready to get into Isaiah,
mm-hmm.
which we've heard a bazillion times. So how do we keep reading, like we're reading it for the first time, like it's speaking to our hearts for the first time? Like, how do we enter into the Word that we're almost too familiar with at this point in our spiritual journey?
Yeah.
And continue to let the Lord speak to us? Any tips for
that? Well, I would say one is make sure that you are reading and preparing for it, to really kind of look at it in a new way, in a prayerful way, to so that the Lord can kind of speak to it. I think sometimes we just start a passage and think, oh, I've read this before, I know how it ends.
Yes. Yeah.
And so then we just shut down. So I think the key is to really to approach it in this sort of reflective, prayerful way. Second, I think it's good to kind of maybe look at some sort of commentary on it as well. So, for instance, you know, the Ignatius Study Bible. I don't know if you're familiar with that,
no.
But Scott Hahn and others have put this together, and they've kind of taken a book or a letter at a time. They had finished the New Testament and have bound it all up, even in a hardback version. And it's not like this, you know, crazy scholarly, you know, I mean, it's well researched and everything, but there are nice little bits on like how this applies to our Catholic faith, how this applies to, you know, our, you know, living of the faith. Now, I know that they're at work in the Old Testament, and they have a lot of like, so the first five books, the Pentateuch, they've done those. Some of the historical books. I don't know if they've done the prophets yet. But another good resource, too, is this. There's a series called the Catholic Study Bible, or the Catholic Commentary on Sacred Scripture. Yeah.
So many resources. If you're finding your reading is stale, then just change it up a little bit.
That's what you got to do.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I think the key also, I would say, is really pray, you know, pray for a new insight. We believe that Scripture is not just inspired, but inspiring. So it will, you know, the Lord will speak to us through it in a new way.
Okay. We are going to take another break. You're listening to St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. When we come back, we have Friar John Bamman, who is with us. He's a Franciscan. He's going to talk to us. We're going to dig a little deeper into the incarnation to help your Advent be holier and more productive. And when Christmas comes, we're going to be ready. So stay with us.
Catholic Community News from St. Gabriel Radio, AM 820. Columbus St. Elizabeth Church, 6077 Sharon Woods Boulevard, will be the site of a novena in preparation for the Feast of the Immaculate Conception at 7 p.m. each evening from Saturday, November 30th to Sunday, December 8th. On Tuesday, December 3rd, the Sarah Club of North Columbus will hold their meeting at noon at the Jessing Center at the Pontifical College Joseph Finham, 7625 North High Street, with a talk by Father Adam Streitenberger, the parochial vicar at St. Joseph Cathedral. Sunday, December 1st through Tuesday, December 3rd, the parish mission at St. Cecilia will take place. It's at 7 p.m. each evening. The church is located at 434 Norton Road in Columbus. It will feature videos from Bishop Robert Barron's Pivotal Players series. For more information, call 614-878-5353. Catechesis at the Cathedral will continue at 6:45 p.m. Sunday, December 1st at the Cathedral, 212 East Broad Street. It's the 13th weekly series session with Father Adam Streitenberger.
This is a Young Catholic Minute. Why does a loving God make us suffer? Okay, Adam and Eve, behind door number one, perfect happiness. Door number two, something else.
Oh, we'll take door number two.
Ooh, bad choice, Adam and Eve. Behind door number two is not perfect happiness, which means that suffering, death, illness, and trans fat enter the world. The point is, God doesn't want us to suffer, and He doesn't make us suffer. We choose suffering anytime we turn away from Him and His plan, which, unfortunately, is a lot. And sometimes we suffer just because we live in the fallen world that Adam and Eve chose for us. But even out of suffering, God brings good by allowing us to choose Him again. If God were to say, "Hey there, everything will be just dandy if you follow me," are we really choosing God because we love Him? Or could the dandyhood factor be tipping the scales a bit? We can be sure we're truly following God when we choose to follow Him even through suffering, not just when it's easy. For more, go to youtube.com/youngcatholic.
I'm Lori Kroc, and this is a Holy and Healthy Minute. Our Blessed Mother is a beautiful example of gentleness and love. May she inspire us to grow in gentleness toward ourselves and toward others, not allowing our weaknesses and failings to discourage us on our journey to grow holy and healthy. The saints teach us that it's prideful to expect perfection on our own. We must learn to trust God completely and to resist being discouraged by our weaknesses. When we cooperate with God's grace, we grow in virtue and our hearts soften. St. Francis de Sales said, "When you encounter difficulties and contradictions, do not try to break them, but bend them with gentleness and time." Our Blessed Mother looks at us with a mother's heart, filled with love and a desire to bring us closer to her Son. May we open our hearts to Our Lady, emulating her gentleness and being charitable and loving toward ourselves and others.
And we're back. This is the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. We're very excited to introduce to you our guest for today, Father John Bamman, whose name autocorrects to Batman.
That's cool. That silly autocorrect.
I don't know. I think in this case, autocorrect knows.
Well, we brought Friar John on in particular to speak about the Incarnation as we are coming into the season of Advent. We are reminded that in Advent we remember three things. We celebrate three things. We try to kind of wake up to three things. First of all, the Incarnation, Christ coming in history. Second, Christ coming in glory at the end of time. And then third, Christ coming in what we might call the ordinary, so that Christ, of course, breaks into our life every day. And so we want to be attentive to that, just as attentive as we are to the Incarnation and to Christ coming in glory. But today we focus on the Incarnation, which is what I think we most associate Advent with. So we have Friar John with us today. Now, Friar John, you are a member of the Conventual Franciscans, is that right?
That's correct.
Now, last week, not to kind of launch us into controversy at
the very beginning,
last week we had Father Lou Iacello, who was a Franciscan. He is, I think, just OFM, mm-hmm. but you're OFN Conventual.
So it goes OFM and CONV are the letters, and that conventual means a Latin word convenire, or to live together. And so conventual has a history of being around urban areas, and so we have a Franciscan scholastic tradition that goes back to St. Bonaventure, great doctor of the church, and perhaps more of an urban presence working with the poor and those that are on the margins in the inner city, where the OFMs have a tradition of being out in rural areas and perhaps being more contemplative and prayerful in that respect. But there's exceptions to the rule. So if you were to visit our rec room, and I was to visit Father's rec room, Father Leo?
Father Lou.
Father Lou's rec room, I think they'd be very, very similar.
Yeah.
Same founder, and we're still trying to carry that Franciscan ethic in the everyday, and we're so similar that I just say we're all part of the same family tree.
Yeah.
We're just
in
different branches.
And you're also vocation director.
I am. So I'm out there fishing for men.
Yes. How many novices and postulants does the order have? And
well, we have a formation poster, and so we have a steady stream of guys coming in every year as postulants. They go to Chicago their first year, so we'll have a class of maybe 8 or maybe 12, depending on what's happening in the United States. And we, as a province, work together with 4 different provinces as vocation directors, and then those move on to novitiate. That's out in California, Arroyo Grande, California, and then they move on to higher studies, either in Washington, D.C., or in San Antonio, Texas. So there's sort of a formation path for the students, And we say that we've been at it 800 years, so we don't really tailor suit formation to the person. We kind of say, well, we've been at this for a while.
Is there pressure to do that? I mean, in a culture where everything is, we're supposed to be tailoring everything to...
Yes.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of over-educated people that come to us. Myself being an example, I had a theology degree as a layperson that entered Franciscan formation, and I thought I'd be on like an express plan. You know, they would just like forward me really fast through formation. And they're like, no, we've been at this 800 years. It's going to be about, you know,
and
8 years
to be working
for you at least.
Yeah.
But fortunately, we're not as long as the Jesuits. I think they're about 14 or 16 years of formation. So.
Yeah.
But they're really smart.
Yeah. Now, Father, you also live in Cary at the shrine there, at Our Lady of the Basilica Shrine there of Our Lady of Consolation, which maybe our listeners aren't familiar with, but is such a beautiful, prayerful, peaceful place up there.
Yeah, it's a wonderful gem, and I think it's hidden in Ohio. Many people don't know about it. It's open 24/7, and a lot of people will come up I-23 north on their way from Columbus to Toledo, and they'll just make a pit stop and light a candle and say a prayer. And we get a lot of groups that come up. Like, for instance, Worthington St. Michael's just recently came up. They're seventh graders, and I got to give a shout-out to Sister Marie Fatima. She does wonderful catechism to our seventh graders. They were so well prepared, and so we gave a tour of the basilica, a little history of the miracles that have happened there, of healing, and also a look at the relics and all the thousands of saint relics and martyrs that we have in the lower basilica. So there's just a real treasure of Catholic history there that's been there since 1875, and it's well worth a visit. If nothing more than just to light a candle along your way and sort of put God in the front seat of your car.
Now, as we segue, you know, of course, Our Lady of Consolation, I think Our Lady is, you know, one of the primary workers in the moment of the Incarnation. But why is it that Franciscans are so associated with the Incarnation?
Well, you know, the Franciscans have had many devotions that focus the crib to the cross, or Jesus coming as enfleshed as a little baby, and also in the Passion. And I think there's almost maybe a grittiness to make that real in the everyday. So Franciscans were the first one to have the nativity scene, a living nativity scene from Greccio, Italy. And then they also were the ones that did the Stations of the Cross to make that Passion real in everyday life. And so there's this long history of Franciscans kind of, how do we make real this salvific event of the coming of Christ? And so Francis, you know, in 1223, he was at a little town of Greccio, and it's a high, beautiful location on the cliffs and mountains of Italy. And he had a farmer friend of his named Giovanni. And he said, Giovanni, could you, you know, help me to make this nativity real? And so he asked to borrow his ox, asked to borrow his donkey. And then they had actors play Mary and Joseph and the shepherds. And they played out that whole scene for the town. And then they had a little wooden doll for Christ. And Francis picked up the Christ child from the manger and began to rock the child. And he said in Italian, El bambino de Bethlehem. And the sources tell us that as he said those words, they were like honey dripping from his lips. And he said it with such devotion that the people were all stunned, because in that moment they saw Jesus the Christ child in his hands. It was the great miracle of Greccio, and now you go there, they celebrate Christmas every day of the year.
Uh-oh.
With the significance of the coming of Christ, the Incarnation, was such an amazing event.
Friar John, we need to take a little break. Will you stick around with us and we can dive more deeply into this? All right, you're listening to St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. We are going to take a break and come back and talk some more with Friar John Bamman. Don't go away.
Sarah clubs throughout the world pray for and support the priesthood and consecrated religious life. Please join in our prayer for vocations.
O God, who wills not the death of a sinner, but rather that he be converted and live, grant, we beseech you, through the intercession of Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, St. Joseph, her spouse, St. Junipero Serra, and all the saints, an increase of laborers for your church, fellow laborers with Christ, to spend and consume themselves for souls. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
For information on the Serra Clubs in the Diocese of Columbus, go to serracolumbus.org. That's S-E-R-R-A, Columbus.org. Did you know that your body has a theology? The theology of the body helps us understand that we're made out of love for love. In the Garden of Eden, Eve is tempted and eats the forbidden fruit, and then persuades Adam into eating it too. Their lack of trust in God's plan for them leads to original sin. We call this the fall. Yet the divine reflection of God still shimmers in our souls. We yearn to develop that reflection all our lives. Every joyous moment, every sight of profound beauty, every job well done brings us a gleam of the being we truly are. So, although we are fallen, our bodies allow us to visibly see God's invisible love. We may not be able to put a finger on that experience, but we know, in our hearts, that it is good. I'm Clarissa Chichioko for Creative Catholic Works. For more on the theology of the body, you can find us at creativecatholicworks.org.
Welcome back to the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. We are continuing our conversation with Friar John Bamman. He is, we're talking about the Incarnation. So,
yeah,
Father Adam,
yeah.
You are on a roll here.
Yeah,
keep going.
I know. Well, Friar John, it's so great to have you here talking about the Incarnation. And, you know, and as we approach Advent, this special season, in preparing ourselves for the celebration of the Incarnation at Christmas, what are some spiritual practices that maybe you or the friars do in preparation for Christmas, that, and maybe some practices to suggest to our listeners?
Sure, yeah. I think in Advent, it's a great opportunity just to make real this Incarnation, you know, the coming of Jesus as a little child. And how do you make that real? And there's a theme of longing and waiting. And one of the practices that goes back many centuries for Franciscans is the Black Fast. And it goes from All Saints all the way up to Christmas. So November 1st all the way up to December 25th as a way to prepare and ready your hearts for the coming of Christ. Very similar to Lenten penances, but it's a way to prepare for this key salvific event. Because, boy, if Christ didn't come as a little child, where would we be, right? And mm-hmm. just that fullness of all creation, just the perfect example. And so how do we make real that longing? And so in many of our Franciscan houses or convents, they'll take a group penance on, like, no caffeine drinks, and any money that would have been spent on soda or coffee would be donated to a particular charity. That's like a house practice, or maybe a little extra silent time for group meditation that's added on to the community prayer. That's like a community penance. And then something individual is something that would increase your longing for Christ. Maybe taking up some of the devotions that you've been speaking about this morning. I know Robert Barron has done a book specifically just this year on Advent reflections, and that's a great practice just to take on. I've seen really clever apps from like SBO St. Paul Outreach. And they'll send you know, reflections every day on your app or on your phone. It like comes to you, which is, that's fantastic. And it's a nice way to add that extra penitential practice. And I think another area is like where you find yourself impatient, find a way to bring patience to that area. Like for me, we have this wonderful coffee maker that's a Keurig one cup maker. And we have this practice in our house that you have to turn it off every time you use it. Well, that drives me crazy because then you have to wait for the
preheating,
water.
Yeah.
Preheating
yes.
forever. And
it.
You're like pining for this cup of coffee. And instead of getting cranky and angry at all the crazy practices that you do in community life, to enter in that opportunity for waiting and say, okay, Jesus, what lesson are you giving me here today? Mm-hmm. And who can I pray for while I'm waiting and frustrated with this invitation for patience?
Oh, my yeah. gosh. I hope my husband is listening right now. And I will never make a cup of coffee the same. Thank you for that. That is amazing.
But we're an order of penitence. So Franciscans, in the very beginning, they wouldn't have called themselves Franciscans. I mean, Francis would have been appalled. Don't name yourself after me, right? They were known as the order of penitential men, the order of penitential women, Poor Clares. And so they were known for these penitential offerings. And I think of one area. I lived in Terre Haute, Indiana, and they're surrounded by railroad tracks. And you would always get railroaded every time you wanted to drive someplace. And you'd be in a hurry to go to the hospital
yeah.
to visit someone who's sick or dying. And you're like, I have to wait for this blasted train. And that was an invitation for prayer. So every time, one year for Black Fast, every time I heard a train whistle, I was reminded to pray.
Wow. Mm.
And it was exhausting because there's like 63 trains yeah. a day going through Terre Haute.
What great advice. Oh, my gosh. I have so many That's things good. To incorporate into my day. It's good. Friar John, you had a joke you wanted to tell.
Well, if there's a thread of truth in all humor, there was once a vision of the incarnation to a Dominican, a Franciscan, and a Jesuit. And there the skies opened up, and they all saw Bethlehem and the baby, God-man, right there in the manger with the shepherds and the ox and the ass and the angels all in attendance, Jesus, Joseph, and Mary, the Holy Family. And the Dominican said, oh, happy fault, happy sin of Adam that has given us the Redeemer, Jesus, come to save us of our frail humility. What wonders the Lord has brought to us. And the Franciscan saw the vision before him and dropped on his knees and began wailing and crying, saying, oh, humble sublimity, oh, sublime humility, the great God has come into our little humanity. This is so awesome. And the Jesuit went and saw these beautiful reactions to this incredible incarnation scene. And he went up to Joseph, put his arm around him, and said, have you thought about a Catholic education for the boy?
Friends, you don't hear jokes like that on secular radio.
Oh, that's great.
Brilliant.
And, you know, there are probably any Jesuits in our listening audience, since there are no Jesuits assigned to the Columbus area.
Oh, I wouldn't be too sure.
So I don't think we'll get any nasty messages.
Well, as a Jesuit-educated boy who went to St. John's Jesuit, yeah. I feel obliged to tell that.
Also, yeah. I feel like Jesuits would be like, yeah, heck yeah.
It's never too early to plan.
That's right. Friar John, thank you so much for being with us this morning, for your reflections and your advice and your spiritual direction. It's a lot to think about, so we really appreciate it.
Thanks for making time. It's great. And thank you for St. Gabriel Radio and your wonderful efforts to catechize the masses, Catholic and non-Catholic.
Thank you.
And they are the masses, our listening audience. Mm-hmm. It's international.
Awesome.
Wow. I think I have a friend who listens in Japan, right? So that's, yeah. Oh, okay, a couple of things as we wrap up. Father Adam, Immaculate Conception is on a Sunday this year.
Which means it's transferred.
Okay.
So, of course, you know, we won't be on next Friday.
I know, it's Sacred Heart Friday. Radio.
Yeah,
or Sacred Heart Hour. Yeah.
Sacred Heart Hour. But the Immaculate Conception, because it falls on a Sunday, is transferred because it's the patronal feast day of the United States. Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception is the patroness of the United States. So we always celebrate the Immaculate Conception. But because it's transferred to a Monday, it'll be transferred to a Monday because of...
Wait, so is it still a holy day of obligation?
It... isn't because it's transferred.
It really hurt you to say that I'm sorry to put you in that position.
It's my favorite feast day.
I know. You're like, why wouldn't you go to Mass on
but
Immaculate Conception?
It's odd. This is so bizarre. The whole understanding of holy days of obligation, it tears me up. All of these distinctions. But if a normal holy day of obligation falls on a Saturday or a Monday, it's no longer obligatory. Now, the Immaculate Conception, if it falls on a Saturday or on a Monday, it's still obligatory because it is our patronal feast day. But because it falls on a Sunday and it's transferred to a Monday, it's no longer obligatory. So
it's not hard to be Catholic.
They say that 1% of a priest's time is spent on figuring out what key goes into what door. And another 1% is spent on answering people's questions about holy days of obligations.
So at seminary, do you take classes on those two topics?
Well, not enough.
And then sometimes it changes in church history, like holy day rules have changed, right?
Or they started transferring them all the time, you know. So, like the Ascension Thursday is now on Sunday.
I can't even talk about it. It breaks my heart. Because it's not 40 days.
Let's just try to stay upbeat.
Okay.
You're bringing me down.
I'm so sorry. I did not mean to put you in that position.
We're spiraling.
That is not a good co-host right there. Okay, tell us what you know about the Brigittine sisters opening their hospitality house on Grub Street near Holy Family.
Yes, yeah. So the Brigittine sisters are an order of semi-cloistered women, religious, who are known for their hospitality. And in fact, I would add this bit, if you're ever traveling, look for a Brigittine convent to stay at.
Oh, yeah?
So I spent 5 weeks in Germany. And then I went down to Assisi and stayed with the Brigittines in Assisi. The best schnitzel I ever had was the Brigittines in Assisi. Yeah.
Okay, I have a question. Semi-cloistered.
Yeah.
So they can serve you schnitzel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can they come on Catholic radio?
We'll see.
Okay,
we'll see.
Okay.
So anyway, this is their second American house that they're starting here in Columbus. On Grub Street, they have an adoration chapel over by Holy Family, so in the Franklinton neighborhood. Starting Monday, December the 2nd, the chapel will be open to the public for adoration during the day.
And there'll be a Brigittine sister in there all the time. That's what I read in the Times. Also, they semi-cloistered must mean they can do this. They have a Christmas wreath-making workshop on the 14th. Two different sessions. I think it's a fundraiser for the hospitality house. So that's pretty cool if you're into that, if you need a Christmas wreath. Okay, I know there are a lot of really awesome things going on at Advent, really awesome music concerts and opportunities to get into the spirit and to place yourself in the mindset of the incarnation. So forgive me if I don't mention the one at your church, but because I'm married to the music director at Church of the Resurrection, I have to mention the one at my church. Beautiful concert. See the power you have when you host a radio show?
I mean,
worldwide domination. So
we've already seen how biased you are earlier in this show by letting Father Gardner get through on some of those questions.
Hey,
but
you know
what?
I'm building the kingdom. Friday, December 6th, Church of the Resurrection, 7:30. I am biased, but it's magnificent. Also, I went to the Requiem Mass. It wasn't a Mass this year at St. Joseph's Cathedral. It was not well attended, and I vowed that next time there was a concert at the cathedral, I was going to promote it. So 3 p.m. on Sunday, December 8th, Advent lessons and carols.
Yeah. Well, let's end with a prayer, shall we?
Yep.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. And for my co-host Katie, this is Father Adam saying, until the next time, peace and all good.
This is listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820 on WVSG Columbus and FM 88.3 WSGR New Boston, Portsmouth.